chapter number 2, it said this. It said, immediately when he arose, talking about the man who was born of four, he come in with his back on his bed, but he left with his bed on his back. And it said this, and he went before them all, insomuch they were all amazed. There's that word. And glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And then I began to look at the boards on the window, and I said, we must going to expect the wind to blow in here tonight. And it's coming from Georgia direction toward Alabama, because we got the windows boarded up as if a hurricane was coming. So praise God for that. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I'll be brief tonight. I couldn't find my normal watch that I would normally wear. This thing situated. I couldn't find my normal watch that I wear, and so I picked up my other one, and it only goes if you wear it. it's above my technology. I think they call it a kinetic watch, and it only goes if you wear it. So I only wore it for about 20 minutes before I got here. So if it stops, well, this thing may go for a long time. But if it goes fast, you know, praise be unto God. Now, find in your Bible the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. I just want to read one verse, and then we'll get into the message tonight. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, and verse number 1, it says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this night. I thank you for your grace and mercy to us, Lord. Lord, you've been good to me, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my church, Lord. I thank you for my church home, my church family, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight through your word. Thank you for the word of God. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look tonight on this topic, the ministry and the importance of the ministry. Paul said this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Look around you tonight. What do you see? Do you just see people? Do you just see faces? Do you just see family? Do you just see friends? What do you see when you look around this place? Let me tell you what this is. This is a ministry. You know, I began to think about it. The devil will let you have meeting all day long. He'll let you go to meeting. He'll let you have revivals. But let me tell you what he really hates. He loves for people who are plugged. He hates for people to get plugged into the ministry of Christ. Let me tell you what Liberty Baptist Church is. It's a ministry. I thank him. We've got a pastor that has a heart for the ministry. You see, I'm here tonight because there was a man that preached a funeral one day, and God was already dealing with me, and I never had been in a service where they'd even given an altar call in a funeral. And the man was so, in his ministry, he gave that altar call, and I'm here tonight because I accepted Christ in that funeral because of another man's ministry. Let me tell you what, we're in here to serve Christ through a ministry. Paul said his ministry was important. You see, I began to look at all the people in the Bible, page after page, and I began to think of names. I began to think of old Noah and his ministry. You see, don't let it think it's strange that you have to have a bunch of numbers to be successful in the ministry. You see, you don't have to be. You say, why do you say that? Noah, he preached for 120 years. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. He did exactly what God had told him to do. God had told him there was a flood coming. God had told him to build an ark, and he did exactly, and he built it exactly like God told him to. And that was his ministry. And let me tell you what, when that boat lifted off on that water, there was 8 people in that ark. You say, that wasn't much in number. Was Noah really successful in the ministry? Yes, he was successful. You know why? His family was on board. Let me tell you what, you may not have much in this whole world, but you don't have to have much in this world to be successful. See, God has given us a ministry, and each one of us has a different ministry, and he's given us gifts for that ministry. You see, some of you may have a card ministry. And my mother, when she was living, that was her ministry. The preacher had he said, I got something I want somebody in the church to do, and y'all pray about it. He said, I need somebody that'll send cards out and have a card ministry. And my mama thought about it for a little bit and prayed about it. She said, I'll do that. And my mama began her little card ministry. And she'd get those. You ever got any of those little stickers in the mail that had your name on them, had your address, and you don't know how you get them? They just come in the mail for free. She'd take those things and she'd take her name and she'd mark it out, and she'd mail those cards. I'd go down to her house at night, and she'd be writing out those cards, taking her name off of it, so nobody'd know where it was sent from. And she'd send them out every week. She'd get that prayer list, she'd go down that list, and she'd mark off them names and send it. She did that week after week for years. I remember one time she got a return letter in the mail, one that she'd been sending cards to. They finally sent one back and said this. They said, "Thank you for all the cards you sent. My daddy has passed away now, but I want to thank you for keeping sending cards. Even though he's been passed on, you was faithful in your ministry to send these cards." You see, we all have ministry that we can do. You may be part of the food ministry. You may have a prayer ministry. So God has given us great prayer warriors in this church, and each one of us has different ministries that we operate in. And I thank God that He places different people and diverse people in different ministries within the church, and He operates it that way. Paul said this, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." And I began to think of Noah and his ministry. I began to think of the Lord Jesus Christ and His ministry. He thought it was very important. And then I began to look at Paul's life. You see, Jesus, when He saw somebody, He didn't see them like we do. The Bible said several times He'd go over Jerusalem, He'd look at them over having sheep but not having any shepherd. And He said He looked on them with compassion. I wonder tonight, when we see people in the ministry, do we see them as Jesus sees them? You see, I'm glad Jesus saw me before the Baptist saw me. You see, I was dirty and I was rotten and I was vile. And all I needed, I didn't have any hope, but there was one that came by my way, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He swept me off my feet. And now He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. And He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul tonight, because of one day He swept in my life under the hand of God through somebody's ministry. You see, it's very important in the ministry. Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." I want to say, first of all, why was Paul's ministry successful? Why would you want to look at Paul? You see, Paul had every reason to give up. Paul had every reason to quit the ministry, but he had every reason to stay in. And I began to study the life of Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 to see, why did Paul stay in the ministry? Why should we stay in the ministry? Why should the ministry go on? It's very important. Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." First of all, you must know he had a ministry that had a vision. You see, America has lost their vision. Most churches in America have lost their vision. You say, "What do you mean?" Let me tell you, I'll tell you a story about myself, and I probably told you all before. When I was in about the eighth grade, I began to sit in the back of the class where all the cool kids sat. I thought I was cool. I probably wasn't. Anyway, I sat in the back of the class, and I began to notice that my grades began to slip. And I knew I needed some glasses. I couldn't see the chalkboard, but back then people wasn't cool to wear glasses, so you just didn't get any. And then I said, "Well, if I'm going to drive, I better get some glasses, because they're going to make me take an eye test." Somebody say, "Hey, man, right there. If you're going to drive, you want to walk. You know, so you better get you some glasses." But I noticed this, my vision wasn't as good as it should have been. And I needed some help. Paul had a vision for the ministry. See, his vision was about sinners. Paul would take missionary trip after missionary trip, and he'd go into a town, he'd go into Rome, and he'd plant a church, and he'd get him a pastor of that church, he'd get Titus, he'd get Timothy, and he'd get all these people to help him out, and he'd plant a church in that town and give it over to a pastor because he had a heart for sinners. Paul had a vision for sinners. Not only that, Paul had a vision for the saints. You see, he wanted the saints to get help. And he'd plant that church, and he'd instruct that pastor of that church, and he'd set them over them and give them charge over that church so they teach and preach the gospel. And they'd see sinners come in and get saved. And they'd see the saints of God come in and get refreshed and get help. That's why we need a local New Testament church. Brother Mike said it tonight, "I'm glad I belong to a Holy Ghost, old-timey Baptist church. But let me tell you what, I'm glad I belong to Jesus more than that. You see, He's who got me here." Paul said it was important in the ministry because he had a ministry with a vision. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29, verse number 18, it says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. And let me tell you what, in America, if we don't get a vision for Christ, we don't get a vision, get our eyes off of our troubles, get our vision off of each other, let me tell you what, we're going to perish. The Bible says that clearly. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. Paul had a ministry that would not fail, and he could not give up on because he had a vision. Not something that he saw in a dream, but he had an experience with Christ. How many of y'all know when Paul got saved? He got saved on the Damascus Road over in Acts chapter number 9. God came to him, and he said, "It's hard for me to kick against the pricks. Why persecutest thou me, Saul?" And Paul gave in that day. Let me tell you what he did. He got saved. He got born again. And God had changed his life. I was witnessing to a guy the other day, and this is what I told him. He said, God was dealing with him immensely. And I said this, I said, "When did God change your life? When did God change your life?" You see, when I got saved, it absolutely changed my life. I can remember going one way and God absolutely turning me around and going an opposite direction than what I wanted to go. And it no longer mattered that direction over there. I said, "When did your life change?" You see, Paul, when he got saved on Damascus Road, his life changed forever. It changed forever. The people that hung around Paul no longer hung around Paul. Paul got new friends. He got new family. He was birthed into the family of God, and he got new friends, and he got new family, and he got a new ministry, and his ministry had a vision. Where would your vision be at tonight? He had a vision for sinners. He had a vision for saints. He had a vision for the Savior. I was reading a book not long ago. I want you to turn into Acts chapter number 13. And I just want to read a couple of verses. And this verse right here has really stuck with me. A man was bringing it out in a book. And I'll read it to you tonight. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Paul had a vision for the sinner. He had a vision for the saints. But he had a vision for the Savior. Look what it said here in Acts, chapter number 13. I want you to see what the Holy Ghost King James Bible says. It says, "Now there were in church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Manon, which had brought up with Herod and the Tetrarch and Saul." Listen to this next verse. And it says that they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them to do." You say what they do? See, we come to church for the Lord to minister to us. But let me tell you what happened at their church. They began to minister to the Lord. You see, the Lord likes for us to worship. He likes for us to minister to Him. You see, we're coming in here to soak things out of Christ. But let me tell you what He wants us to do. He wants to glean things from us that we're giving back to Him because we're a thankful people. It said, as they ministered unto the Lord. See, Paul had a vision for the Savior. He saw them. He said the ministry was very important because he had a vision for it. If I were to go around here tonight and check your vision, and we were to... How many of you ever had an eye exam? I go yearly to have an eye exam. They put me in this room in the dark, and I wear contacts, and the guy makes me take them out, and I can't even hardly see where to put them in the little case. So I go in there for the eye exam, and he says, "Your vision, vision." You see, your eyes are very important. And see, our eyes in the ministry are very important. It's what we see. You see, what we see is what we do a lot of times. Paul said it was a ministry with a vision. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. You must know a ministry like this is touching people around the world. Brother Ken said it Sunday. He said there's 70 missionaries out of this church that we're supporting, not even counting our domestic missionaries. Let me tell you what, this thing out of this ministry is going around this world, and we may not see it. You see, when people don't see things in the ministry, they start acting crazy. You see people getting saved, you see that? And the devil would love to shut down a ministry. You see, he don't mind that meeting, but when that thing of ministry always bothers him. You know why? Because people get help in a ministry. People get saved in a ministry. People get hope in a ministry. People get their life changed in a ministry. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Paul had a ministry with a vision. Not only did he have a ministry with a vision, he had a ministry with vitality. You see, everywhere Paul went, there was life, just like Jesus. I think Paul had patterned himself after Jesus. Everywhere you see Jesus, you'll see life. Everywhere you saw Paul, he was bringing hope. He was bringing life to somebody else. You see, Jesus' ministry was always about others. And Paul had patterned himself on that ministry, and his ministry became about others. You see, a lot of times we focus on ourselves. And what's happening down here? Let me tell you what, we can touch more people's lives than what we think. Just one little word, one little card, one little prayer, one little text on the phone for encouragement goes a long ways. And we don't even know how far it goes. Some of you have texted me when I've got up here and preached. You know what? I cherish those texts. You know why? Because the devil, he always creates noise. He'll never tell you anything right. He'll never tell you all the things he just brings up everything you've done wrong and everything you thought wrong. And he's an accuser of the brethren. But thank God for some people who stood by the stuff and made it a ministry with vitality that had life behind it. You know why Paul had a ministry of vitality? I'm going to say, first of all, he preached with his heart. He preached with his heart. It said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. You say, why do we need preaching? It's because of this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It goes on to say this, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Let me tell you what, we need preaching. And let me tell you what Paul did. He preached with his heart. I thank him for the man of God he's placed over this place and Brother Mike and the men of God that stand behind this pulpit and they preach with the love of God behind them and they preach with their heart. I'd rather take a man that preached with his heart than took the man who could quote the whole Bible and didn't care about his soul out here. Let me tell you what, Paul preached with his heart. Paul knew all the stuff he had done wrong. Paul was known for going into churches and causing havoc. You read about Paul over in Acts chapter number 8. He was taking people out and bounding them for even thinking about Christ. Taking them back to Jerusalem so they'd be beaten stone for loving on Christ. Paul was a man that looked back on his past and he said, I'm going away from that. In the book of Timothy said he was a pattern to everyone who would believe on thereafter. You want to know how you got saved? Look at Paul's life. Look at him in Acts chapter number 9. It totally changed his life. And I look back on my life, and when I got saved, it totally changed how I thought. It totally changed how I walked, and it changed how I talked. And I didn't get it overnight. Believe me that. But let me tell you what, it totally changed my thinking. My thinking went out the window, and I thought about what Christ would think about it. He had a ministry with vitality because he preached with his heart. Not only that, he preached with his life. Everywhere Paul went, he was a trophy of grace for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not have to be ashamed no matter where he went. You know why? Because he was displaying Christ. Every time he walked on a missionary trail, every time he started a church, you know what it's about? It was nothing about Paul. It was all about Christ. You see, he practiced what he preached. You ever heard that? You need to practice what you preach. We all heard that before, haven't we? Paul practiced what he preached. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 26. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And here it is. But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. Lest by that any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what Paul said? He said, I keep my flesh under control. He said, I do the things of Christ. Why? Because when I go before others, I don't want them to... I want to be effective in the gospel of Christ. You see, some people have lost their effectiveness in the ministry of Christ by the things they've done in this flesh. Let me tell you what, you can get forgiveness for sin. Don't get me wrong there, but let me tell you what, you can lose your effectiveness. I can mess up tonight. I can mess up tomorrow. And you know what? And everybody around me, I would lose my effectiveness for Christ. And I cherish that. And it scares me that I would lose that. To have that edge. To have that axe head. To be sharp. To have that approval, that favor of God in the ministry. I do not want to lose that. because it'd be so easy to lose, and many have lost it, and they've lost their effectiveness in the gospel. Not to say you couldn't get it back. Peter lost it at one time. The rooster crowed on him. But let me tell you what. He preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. He gained it back. But let me tell you what, it's easier lost than it is gained back. He practiced what is life. Not only that, he proved what he loved. If it was known of you, I read of Brother Mike brought up the Presbyterian in, you know, in the prayer room. I read after a man called J. Vernon McGee. Guess what he is? He's a Presbyterian. He's an old-timey Presbyterian, and you couldn't tell no difference in him and a Baptist preacher today. Because back then it didn't matter. You see, man has brought up all these denominations and they've went their way and they've turned that way. Thank God I've got a book tonight that tells me what to do right. No matter what these denominations tells me, no matter what some man tells me, no matter what some woman may say, no matter what my friends may say, this book is the final authority. And I thank him for it tonight. He proved what he loved. You see, Paul loved Christ. And it was known of him that he loved Christ. Everywhere he went, he'd go into a city, and you know what? They say, there's old Paul. He loves Christ. This is what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation of my hope, and then nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And he said this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, no matter what, if I'm living or if I'm dying, you know what I want to do? He said, I want to prove that I love Jesus. And then he told Timothy when he was dying over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and he was laying down his last words. He was laying down his obituary for Timothy. He told him to do this. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he was saying? He said, prove yourself in the ministry. How do you do that? You stay in the ministry. You stay in it. Your pastor needs to see your face here. You see, we got a local New Testament church. We come here. We're the called out ones. We're the born again, the family of God, the church of God. And you know what? He's established a church, a ministry here. And you're very important and you need to be seen here. You see, Paul, he proved what he loved. And everywhere he went, they said, there's Paul. He loves Christ. He fell in love that day. And no matter what happened to him, they always said this, there's old Paul, he loves Christ. For me to live is Christ. He said, whether it be by life or by death, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to magnify the name of my Lord. I'm going to give him all the glory for everything I do. He had a ministry with vitality. Not only that, he had a ministry with value. You see, he never lost that effectiveness. Look down in verse number, turn back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's look in verse number 8. He had a ministry with value. He says this, 2 Corinthians 4, number 8, it says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul said, I went through some troubles. He said, I went through some trials. He said, I went through some distresses. He said, I went through much perplexity on every side. But let me tell you what, he was never cast down. He was never forsaken. Paul had a ministry with value. I was reading after one man. He said this. He said, you will find more of God in your struggles than you will in your strength. So a lot of times we think when we're strong, the Bible says this, when we are weak, then are we made strong. You might be going through a struggle here tonight, but let me tell you where God can be found. He can be found in your struggles. You see, look, when we're up on the mountain, a lot of times we see out, we don't see God as clearly as we ought to. But it's down in those valleys when we're struggling. Paul said every time I was in those perplexities, when I was in distress, guess who showed up? And he showed out. He said, God was there in my struggles more than I thought I was strong. Paul had every reason to quit the ministry, but he had a ministry with value. I was thinking about this before I got up here, and I looked it up. It's found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 7. It says this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Paul had a ministry of value. Peter said it was much more precious than that of gold. Somebody in here tonight might be walking through the hardest trial of your life, but guess what? God's in your struggle. It's more precious to Him than that of gold. You know why? Because it's going to draw you closer to Him. And you're going to be able to look to Him. And He's going to favor you. And He's going to look to you. And He's not going to leave you. And He's not going to forsake you. And He'll be by your side. Paul found Him by His side each time that he was in a trouble and he was in a trial. Now, he found Him in His struggles. You say, how do you know? Look what Paul said in verse number 17 in this chapter. A ministry of value. He said this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. Let me tell you what Paul wasn't doing. Paul wasn't living for the moment. You see, this whole world will teach you to live for the moment. Anybody ever heard that? We're going to live for the moment. You live for the moment, it'll get you in trouble. You know what Paul was doing? He's living for eternity. Paul said, I give up on this moment. I give up on this temporal stuff. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live for eternity. You know why? He wanted to please his Lord. He wanted to do what was right. You know why? Because he had a ministry with value. Here at Liberty Baptist Church, guess what? We got a ministry of value. You're reaching souls. You're touching lives. You're giving hope. We're waiting for Bowden to come on in here. We're opening the doors, saying, sinners, come. A ministry with value. I'm glad people know where to come to get help. I'm glad we have a church that has an environment where you can get help. He had a ministry with value. You say, what do you mean by that? For our light affliction. I think I've used this in here before. Paul was a man that had every he could have given up. He had all the reasons to give up on the ministry. We read about Paul in Acts chapter number 27 when he was shipwrecked. The Euryclidon, it took him off to sea. Paul could have said, hey, I give up. You know what he said? Light affliction. Not only that, when he was stoned in Iconium over in Acts chapter number 14, you know what he could have did? He could have given up. When he was beaten and he was stoned and thrown into jail in Philippi over in Acts chapter number 16, you know what Paul could have did? He could have given up. He said, no, I got a ministry that's much more valuable than giving up. He said, light affliction. He found himself over in Acts chapter number 24 before Felix, and he began to tell him about what happened to him over on the Damascus Road. And old Felix said, when I got a more convenient season, I'll give in to it. And Felix never got saved, but Paul, his life had changed. And he was on, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll send you down to old King Agrippa over in Acts 26. And you know what he did? He ministered unto him, and he gave him that same. At midday, O king, a great light from heaven shone right about me. He told him his testimony. And old Agrippa said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then Paul thought he was going to lose his life there. You know what he said? Light affliction. Not only that, Paul persecuted under the hand of Nero. They sent two men into him to bring him to his death. And those two men that Nero had dispatched to get him there and take him to his deathbed, They told Paul this. They said, why don't you just pray for me? And they prayed for those two men. And the Fox's Book of the Martyrs says those two men got saved. Paul said this, standing in front of Nero, about to face death. You know what he said? Light affliction. He said, it's much more valuable for me to die and still have Christ and to win Christ than to die without Christ. And then he said he had a ministry with value. And I'll close with this. Not only did he have a ministry of value, he had a ministry with victory. Look what it said down in verse number 18. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I said this before, Paul was not living for the moment. He was living for eternity. I want to live my life as if I may live one more day, I may not live one more hour. But you know what I want to do in my life? I want to magnify Christ. I want to have a ministry with victory, pointing people to Christ. I began to read after one man, and his name is King Charlemagne. I'm sure probably hadn't too many people heard of that name, but he was a king of the Turks. He had gotten great favor with Pope Leo III, and he began to take over what we know now as present-day France and Germany, and he's a great king, and he was a Christian king, and he began to do great works and began to conquer great worlds over there, and they made him emperor of Rome in the late 1800s. And it says this of O King Charlemagne, he built all this thing, and he brought all this world together, you know, and he was doing it for Christ. And on his deathbed, if you were to go over that day, it's found at Aix-la Chapelle. It's found in Aachen, Germany. It said this, that old king, when he passed away, they built him a great tomb down beneath that Aix-la Chapelle. It's down in the basement. And in that great tomb, he's got a chair of marble. He's got on his great robe. He's got on his crown. He's got all this stuff on him, that the finest fabric that man could make and weave together. He's got it on him. He had all the power. He had all the treasures of Rome at the time. But they got him there captured down in that tomb, in that basement. It says this of him. It says his chair was which in the kings had been crowned, a book of the gospel lay open in his lap. And it said this, and he sat there cold, silent, motionless, and the finger of this dead king that had all this glory, had all this pomp and all this circumstance that had passed through this world, and he had his hand on the gospel on a certain verse. There, it's there today. And he had his finger, old bony finger, stuck on a verse. You know what it is? Mark chapter number 8, verse number 36. Let me tell you what it says. It said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then down below it, it reads this, if I gain the world but lost the Savior, where would my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest in the comfort of the things that must soon pass away? If I gain the world but lost the Savior, would my gain be worth the toil and strife? Are all of earth's pleasures worth comparing with the gift of God, eternal life? That old king said this. He said, all this glory they gave me down on this earth did not compare. It worketh a far more exceeding weight of glory over in the heavenly world. He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, I had everything this world had to offer, but it was nothing to compare what Jesus had for me over there. He said, there is a reason to live right. There is a reason to do right. He was a man with a vision for the ministry. The importance of the ministry. Paul said this, wherefore, seeing we have this ministry. Let me tell you what we got here. We got a ministry. I thank God He's placed me in a ministry. The Bible said that God has set the members as it had pleased Him. You say, what do you mean by that? I remember coming up to Bowden, Georgia as a little kid, not even stopping. If the light was green up here downtown, I'd just go straight on through. And if we did stop, we might look to the right there at the golf center, and we'd pass over in there, and we might look at the clubs that they had. But I thank God He had a greater plan for me. And now I drive up here 3 or 4 times a week. Why? Because God placed me in a ministry. I'm not here for the moment. I want to be here for the eternal. I thank You for Your attention tonight.